Good morning, everyone. Oh, my goodness. I was going to make a few jokes about Song of Songs, but I won't because you already made them. They were good. Kicking off into the Gospel of Luke right through until Easter. And then I think going into Acts. So it's a big Luke double act for the first half of this year. Obviously, we started at Christmas with the birth of Jesus, and today I wanted to look briefly at the genealogies, and then we'll get a little bit creative. As you can see around the church, there's a bunch of names posted up around, and I'll explain them later, but we'll get to stand up and do some cool stuff, hopefully. So, raise your hand if you can, this is a little quiz, raise your hand if you can name your parents. I hope everyone. Keep your hand raised if you can name your grandparents. Okay, you can just start to follow one line if you don't know all sets of them. Keep your hand raised if you know the name of great-grandparents. Considerable drop. Great-great-grandparents. Oh, a couple. Do we keep going more than that? One more great-great-great-grandparents? Yeah, really? More? Well done. That's further than I thought. Well done. Well, we don't think about family lines much anymore, I don't think. I can name up to my grandparents, really. I don't know my great-grandparents' name. And I think some of this is living in a sort of postmodern world with this strong sense of individualism means that we're somewhat disconnected from our lineage. Maybe if you've come from a particularly good family, like if my name was Josiah Luther King Jr., I might know more of my family history. Or the opposite, if my name was Josiah Hitler, then people would know a bit of my family. But You would be seen differently because of your family history, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And this is where I think these genealogies come into focus for us. We know that genealogies were much more important in ancient times, particularly if you're an important person. Nailing your family history to the kings or noblemen of the past was hugely influential. Women wanted to marry you and produce heirs, and men probably just wanted to be with you and hang around. You were a popular sort of person and so on. So what's the point of Jesus's family history? Because we know that he's not like that, right? Interestingly, there's two genealogies in the Gospels, one in Matthew chapter 1 and this one in Luke chapter 3, and they're very different. Which straight away is like, what? They're really different. Matthew starts with Abraham. He doesn't go all the way back to Adam and God, which makes sort of sense because the Gospel of Matthew is particularly Jewish. It's to a Jewish audience. And of course, Abraham is the father of their nation, the one who God promised more descendants than the stars to be a blessing to all nations. It also speaks of Jesus being Jewish, right? But Luke goes further, all the way back to Adam. And this ties into Luke's sort of overarching theme that the gospel is for everyone, that it's for all of creation, not just the Jews. Everyone is welcome. If I had a title for this message, for this interaction today, it would be that everyone is welcome. They continue on from Abraham and they share, Matthew and Luke's genealogy share the same names pretty much, I think exactly the same, through to the great King David. David, in many ways, was the prototype of the coming Messiah, Israel's greatest king. In the covenant to David, God promised that through his seed the Messiah would come, and that this descendant would be like a king like him, who would reign forever on Israel's throne. We also know that David wasn't all good, right? David had some pretty horrible streaks. But after David, the two accounts vary wildly. Like, there's maybe one or two names that are same out of, 17-plus names from David through to Joseph, the son of Jesus. They're completely different. And I won't go into this. I find that stuff really interesting, and I looked it up a little bit. And so go away if that interests you as to why these two Gospels have completely different genealogies of Jesus. One of the theories that I thought held the most sort of weight was that Matthew's genealogy was Joseph's line, and Luke's genealogy was Mary's line. It has something to do within the Greek in Luke's gospel, where he talks about Joseph. I can't remember the exact language, but it's like sort of being the son of Heli or whatever his name was. It's more likely that that says that he was the son-in-law of Heli. So Heli was actually Mary's dad. But we won't get bogged down in that. You can go have a look at that. We don't know. But we can still learn really important things from these bloodlines. And I'll just finish with a few thoughts on this. See, Jesus' ancestors aren't all kings and noblemen, rich people and rulers, lords and leaders. No, some of them are nasty, evil, idol-worshipping, hypocrites bent on power, greed, money, sex, all those things. Some sort of follow Yahweh and others do a pretty good job. See, Luke and Matthew aren't writing this list of amazing heroes of history for people to see Jesus as this next big thing. The king to destroy all kings. It's not what they're doing. I don't even think Matthew was purely writing this list so Jews would just see him as the Messiah. I think that maybe these lists were a taste of what the kingdom of God to come was like. And what was about to be inaugurated in this lowly, servant-hearted Messiah figure, Jesus of Nazareth. That he came for everyone. That he came for the meek, the mild, the poor, destitute, betrayed, beaten, bruised, left out, forgotten, swindlers, hackers, cheaters, liars, murderers, adulterers, you name it. The nobodies, the outcasts. The people we would all least expect the Savior of the world to come from or to come for. I think there's a link there. So what I'd love us to do today is this. You can see around the church, I've got a list of names all up. There's little bios on them. There's strengths and weaknesses, what we can learn from them, where they appear in the scriptures. And they're all descendants or in the bloodline of Jesus. Split up into groups, stand up, split up into somewhat even groups around. I think there's four on that side and five on this side. So nine all up. I don't know how many people each, four or five people maybe. And have a read. Have a read of their bio. Maybe one person read it out. Have a chat about that character. Maybe if you don't, have a look around. If you don't like someone or you like someone else, go to that person. Or maybe go to the person you don't like. I don't know. Have a chat about them. Maybe you know something about this character that the others don't. Just share some things. What do you like about them? What you don't? I don't know. And then maybe in 5 or 10 minutes, I just have two questions for us. And I'll remind you of them at that time. And they are this. The first one is, am I like this person? Am I like this person? And if so, what ways am I like this person? You can talk about it in your group. And the second one is this person like Jesus? And then I want to come back, and if we've got some cool, interesting things to share about those questions, then let's have a chat. And then we're not going to finish with worship this morning. We're actually going to finish with communion, the great table where everyone is welcome, yeah? Does that sound okay? Any questions? Go.
One's right and the other one's wrong, or they're both wrong. Yeah, absolutely.
you. How's he, bro?
If you haven't already, have a think about the questions. Am I like this person? If so, what's how? And the second question being, is this person like Jesus? What sort of characteristics of this person are similar to Jesus? Okay, everyone, why don't we come and take a seat? How do we go? Did you enjoy that? No? Yep. Does anyone want to share anything, either about the cat I had, what they thought interesting about them, any of the questions I posed, if you saw parts of yourself in them or Jesus?
Go for it.
Looked at, he was out in the field when I think it was Samuel came to pick the next one. So it's pretty incredible, isn't it? And so, just to finish with communion this morning, which I guess is a symbol of forgiveness among other things, I related so much to a lot of these characters that there are good things in all of these people and that they follow God in some way. And so do I. In some ways I follow God and I think I do right by Him. But in many ways I'm broken. I don't know if you can relate. I don't do what I want to do all the time. Like Paul says, I don't do what I should do and I do things that I shouldn't do. And, you know, I think we can all relate to that we all have that in us, the same as this line of Jesus. And so as we come to communion this morning, this symbol of forgiveness amongst other things, may 2020 be started with this, that we come before Him humbly as a broken people, similar to the people that He came from and for. And we thank Him for going to the cross, yes, and for including us in His plan, but also for welcoming us at the table. And that was Jesus's, or Yahweh, I should say, God's plan all along, to use everyone, if we are willing, to just come and sit and be used by Him, as Sam said with Isaac. God's going to have His way, and I want to be someone who opens myself to His way. Amen? So in your own time, we're going to play some music. In your own time, please come up, grab some juice, some bread, and then come sit down, and I'll just close together, and that's it. Bless you guys.
is running to life from death, and I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out, just as I am. You pull me in, and I know I need you now. My heart has been in your sight long before my first breath, running into your arms is running to
the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never.